And later in life found out that we are indeed all ambassadors for Christ, as Paul makes it clear in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in his epistle to the church at Corinth. He says in verse 20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Being an ambassador for Christ has to do with our ministry. If you look back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul in chapter 3, we're not going to read there, but in chapter 3, Paul draws a contrast between the ministration of glory, which is the ministration given to through him, and ministration of condemnation given through Moses. And he said the ministration of condemnation was glorious, and the ministration of the Spirit is even more glorious. And in chapter 3, he points out that that's what our ministry is about. And in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Then when you get over to chapter 5, Paul talks about some things in relation to eternity and about the judgment seat of Christ. And then you get down to verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Notice there he says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them." And notice now, "and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." You see, in verse 19 and also in verse 20, verse 20 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." When Jesus Christ ascended into heaven in Acts chapter 1, the only person that really saw him after that, according to the scriptures, is in Acts chapter 7 when Stephen saw him. And also, Paul said, "Last of all, he was seen of me." Paul was given this revelation of the mystery. He was given the gospel of the grace of God. And that ministry that he's talking about in 2 Corinthians 3, 4, and even here in chapter 5, is a ministry of reconciliation. The reconciliation is that which took place at the cross. God reconciled the world unto himself. But there's another part of reconciliation there in verse 20. He says, "Be ye reconciled to God." But he makes a very important statement there, just to, I think, six words. He says, "We pray you in Christ's stead." In other words, what he's saying is, we're doing this in place of Christ. Christ is there in the heavens. Paul said, "No man has seen him." And he has spoken to us through his word. We have the written word. And so as saved people who understand that salvation is by grace through faith, that we've been reconciled to God, our ministry, our job, is to go out and to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. We are his representatives here on earth. Jesus Christ today, I do not believe, speaks to people audibly. I believe he speaks through his word. And we are his ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Christ, he said. "As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ that be ye reconciled to God." Accept that reconciliation that God has provided. Now, you know, I think about ambassadors in our country. All countries have ambassadors. And they go to other countries, and generally they live there, and they represent the government or the country from which they came. They are our representatives. Sometimes they may do a good job. Sometimes they might do a job that's not so good. But their job is to represent this country and our views and our stands and our positions. They're not to go over there and do their own thing and operate under their own agenda. They are to operate under the instructions of those that sent them. And how true that is when we think about we are ambassadors for Christ. We are His representatives. We've been sent into the world. We have been sent to preach this gospel of the grace of God, to preach this great and glorious message that Christ died for the sins of the world. He died for the sins of all men. And He purchased us with His own blood. He reconciled us to the Father. And now by faith and faith alone, we can have salvation as a free gift. Now, in thinking about an ambassador, I want us to look at four or five things that are true about ambassadors in a very practical sense. The first thing I want you to notice is over in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. An ambassador should always have the attitude of those that sent him, the welfare. And so in like manner, I believe that we as ambassadors for Christ should possess the same attitude about soul winning that Christ possesses. Now, a lot of times we're accused, or grace believers are accused sometimes, of not being fervent soul winners. And there's a lot that goes on in the name of soul winning that may not necessarily be soul winning. And so I wanted to address that. We are to do everything we can to bring about the salvation of individuals. But I believe there's a scriptural way that that is brought about. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 4, or verse 3, says, "For this is good and acceptable in sight of God our Savior." Now notice, "who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Well, folks, I can tell you with all certainty this morning that it is due time. The time is due. The time is here for us to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have within us this message of reconciliation. Well, it's to be testified. You see, sometimes people try to... I think one of the problems with this thing it's called soul winning is that people... Maybe they set aside one night and they go out and they knock on doors, or they go out to the street and they give out tracts, and that's well and good. There's nothing wrong with that. But let me tell you something. Every opportunity that you have to open your mouth and make known the truth of the gospel, you are then involved in whether people identify it that way or not as soul winning. I spent a couple of days up here with three men that were working and putting down our floor, and had time to talk to those men. I felt like some of it may have been profitable, maybe not. But the fact is that we are ambassadors for Christ. He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And so we don't need to just limit our discussion. In other words, I believe that our desire to see people saved should be a natural outflow of our everyday life and conversation when we come in contact with people. And that would include not only just individual contact, but whether it would be through tracts or radio ministry. You see, I know through personal experience that some people have a very difficult time talking with other people. Now, that doesn't mean you can't do it, but it means it's difficult. I contrast myself sometimes with some other grace preachers I know. And I do not do well with new people. When I'm just meeting new people, I have a hard time with that. Now, I know y'all think I'm just, so outgoing, I'd never have a problem. But that's not the case. I've always had a difficult time with that. And I know one particular preacher in particular, when that man walks in a room, he can go up and talk to anybody like he's known him all of his life and just carry on a conversation and just flow, And I'm sitting over here like this. Now, once I get to know people, it's a different story. But what I'm saying is this. There's a lot of things that can be done in relation to the ministry. For example, you might just have the opportunity, and I need to get some of those printed. We used to have cards back there. You might just have the opportunity to give somebody a little card and say, hey, how about listening to our radio broadcast? How about going to our website, looking up this website, and reading some of the articles on there? I mean, a lot of people you pass, you might not even have time to witness to or talk to in a very personal way. But there are, you see, when we provide resources such as the internet, radio, and TV, those are resources that help you to be able to minister to people that you know, and you can do that. I mean, anybody, I don't care how shy or timid you are, you could walk up to somebody and hand them a card and say, hey, how about listening to our radio program? How about listening? How about going on the internet? How about watching our TV program on Sunday night? So all of those things, what I'm trying to draw here is a picture of soul winning is not just getting your Bible and getting somebody by the collar and taking them through a bunch of verses in Romans. That's what it was always to me. And you lead them to the Lord. Well, Paul said in Romans 1:16 that the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. When we share the gospel with people, and that's why I may fail occasionally, but I try every Sunday to make sure that I present a clear presentation of the gospel during the message at some point, because that is what God uses to bring about salvation. And you know what? I've been through that thing of sitting down and getting people to repeat a prayer and all that, and it always just never did sit well with me. Because I'm always wondering if I've manipulated or got people to do something that really wasn't sincere. But you know what? When I saw and understood with all certainty that the gospel was the power of God unto salvation, and when I preach that gospel, I can depend on that God will use that in the hearts of people to bring about salvation. I'm an ambassador for Christ. You're an ambassador for Christ. And so we need to do everything we can to present this glorious gospel that Paul talks about. So the ambassador for Christ should possess Christ's attitude about soul winning. Not only that, the ambassador for Christ should be sure of what his mission is before he goes. Look back in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20. I can tell you that I struggled with this for several years. Whenever I became pastor here, back right about the time we got off the ark, it's 1980, when I became pastor here, we had a rather small group at that time. You think this is a small group? You should have been here then. It grew. We saw people come and the church grew, and we added numbers and so forth. And then within a two-month period, I think it was five families that moved out of Chattanooga or left for one reason or another, and they were fairly large families, and it just about cut our church attendance in half at that time. But I said all that to say this, and it's easy for this to happen. When I started out pastoring the church, I really believed that my job as a pastor was to cause the church to grow, was to do, to expand, because that's the philosophy in religion. In other words, how many times have you ever had somebody ask you, well, how much has your church grown? I mean, I used to get asked that all the time. It's all about prosperity. How prosperous is the church? Well, it took a while for me to understand and realize that it was not my job to grow a church, if you want to put it that way. I mean, it was my job to try to get people to church, and I still want people to come to church. But the pastor, the minister of God, the ambassador for Christ, he has a specific ministry. Paul recognized that in Acts chapter 20. He says in verse 22, "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." And notice, "and the ministry which I have received with the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." You know, Paul said over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, "Apollos I planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the increase?" God gave the increase. And it finally dawned on me one time that it wasn't really, the numbers were not what really mattered. What really mattered was the preaching of the cross, the preaching of truth to establish people so they might go out and do what we call the work of the ministry. That is to make known the truth of the gospel to the world about us. That's what we are as ambassadors for Christ. And so many times it's easy to get sidetracked into believing our job is something other than it really is. And I'm not saying this just to condemn other preachers, because I've got enough problems of my own. But I know in a lot of situations, the pastorate has become more like a CEO of a company. And most of the time is spent taking care of the business end of it instead of preaching the word. And I've been involved in those kind of things, and so I know it exists. And it's a sad state of affairs when that happens. You see, that's not the pastor's job. The pastor's job is to teach and to instruct and to edify and build up the folks that come there. And that can only be done through Bible study and through teaching the Word of God. I can tell you, before I started pastoring here, I was assistant pastor at a church in Birmingham. And we were in a bookstore one Saturday afternoon, me and the pastor. And there was a man came in, I never will forget this. And he was over there looking through the section, and they had a big section of sermon outlines. And he said, pastor called his name and said, "What are you doing here?" And he said, "Oh, I'm just looking for something to slop the hogs with tomorrow." It was talking about finding a message to preach. And the preacher I was with, he said, "Brother, they ain't hogs, they're sheep." Well, they're both wrong. But you see, that's the attitude. And I grew up in that kind of atmosphere. You go, you buy books, you get your messages out of books, you know, that kind of thing. And you got quarterlies, you got literature, and you read that. Listen, folks, Paul said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. We've had a ministry here for 32 years since I've been pastor, 31 years. And we've never used any set literature. People say, "Well, why not?" Well, because we're to be teaching the Bible. That's what the Word, that's what the church is to be. That's what our ambassadorship is. Why? Because this is the instructions of the one that sent us. You're not going to find the instructions of the one that sent you in some kind of pamphlet or some kind of writing of man that simply wants to promote his doctrine and his religion and so forth. It's the Word of God that's important. We're his ambassadors. And therefore, we are to understand what that commission is. The ministry of testifying the gospel of the grace of God. Why is that important? Well, because of what we just quoted there a moment ago. Look over in Romans chapter 1. I quoted verse 16, but notice what Paul says there in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, Romans 1 verse 11, "For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise." Do you see the word Paul used there? He said, "I am a debtor." He said, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 16. He said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. You see, folks, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God. We should never over-evaluate our importance, but we should understand and recognize that God desires for us to be His ambassadors. He desires for us to carry out the work of the ministry, this ministry of reconciliation. And so we need to preach what we're told, what He told us to preach. Not what some school or seminary or theological system necessarily tells you to teach. If they're telling you that which is according to Scriptures, that's fine. But the dogmas and the covenants and the different things that are presented are not always that which are scriptural. So the Bible should always be the authority. The Bible should always be our marching orders. It's our mission that is included there. Look in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Paul's instruction to the church at Philippi is a great instructions to us as ambassadors of Christ. In Philippians 4 verse 9, he said, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Paul said to the Corinthians, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So we should possess Christ's attitude about soul winning. We should receive our instruction and our mission from the one who saved us, the Lord Jesus Christ, and from God the Father through His holy word. And we should present the message of the one who sent us. Look back in John chapter 13. John chapter 13. You see, Jesus Christ sent out 12 men in Matthew 10. He told them exactly what to preach. He told them exactly who to preach to. And He told them what to do while they were preaching, as far as performing miracles and so forth. He said, go not into the way of the Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, go saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was specific about who they were to go to, what they were to preach, and what they were to do. The Lord Jesus Christ was just as specific toward us. In John chapter 13, there's a very important verse here that we really need to consider, because it's very significant in relation to being sent as an ambassador. In John 13, verse 20, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Now I want you to think about that when we look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Paul said his ministry was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. There's not another writer in the Bible that makes that statement. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, in verse 11, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Then who sent the Apostle Paul? The Lord Jesus Christ sent Paul. What did he say in John? He said, if you receive whom I have sent, you've in effect received me. Well, that's who he sent to you and I, folks, in the dispensation of the grace of God. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul said, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. In Christ's stead, we beseech you." We're here instead of him. He's gone back into heaven. But we're his representatives. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs in the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." Listen, folks, we don't preach ourselves. We don't preach some kind of system. We preach the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. We preach the gospel of the grace of God. We preach the message of reconciliation. God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. You see, it's a wonderful and glorious message that we proclaim. It's not a message of wrath. It's not a message if you step out of line, God's going to zap you or get you. That kind of thing. It's a message of reconciliation. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. Say, but won't that kind of message lead people to a life of sin and a lasciviousness and so forth? Well, let's consider that. Look in Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2. Now, it doesn't always happen in the natural realm, but in the spiritual realm, an ambassador should conduct himself in a manner that's pleasing to those that send him. An ambassador should conduct himself in a manner that is pleasing to the one that he represents. In Titus chapter 2, in verse 11, the Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Now notice what this grace teaches. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now folks, that is completely contrary to what most people say that preaching grace teaches. I have been told all my life, and so have you. I was just told again this past week in an email that based on what I was preaching, I was condoning sin in the lives of people. Well, that couldn't be further from the truth. And it couldn't be further from the truth as far as the 13 epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote. In Romans chapter 6, verse 1, he said in relation to that, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid." Well, right here we have a clear scripture that the grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You see, that's the sanctification of the believer, the outward sanctification. We've already been sanctified spiritually. But never for one moment believe that it's not important how we live. It is important how we live, and we've got 13 epistles telling us how to live. If you wanted to narrow it down and you took all the verses in Paul's epistles, you'd find there's more in his epistles about how to live than there are about anything else. Now, is that trying to put you under bondage? No. Paul said, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free." You see, you shouldn't live a certain way because I tell you to. You shouldn't live a certain way because some other preacher tells you to. You know why you ought to live a certain way? You ought to get into this book and decide exactly how you ought to live, how you ought to dress, how you ought to, the things you ought to listen to, the things you ought to watch, the things you ought to be participating in. All of those things you can find in the Word of God. Paul talks about being moderate. He talks about using moderation. He talks about don't be involved in lust and all kind of. I mean, one commandment after another. We get started on them here. I mean, obviously there's hundreds of messages and all that. He tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is. Why is that? Listen, we're representing the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of heaven here on earth. We ought to represent Him in a way that would be pleasing to Him, that would magnify Him, that would exalt Him as His ambassadors. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And here's the reason why. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice verse 14. Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a people that are free to do whatever they want. It's not what it says, is it? Purifying Himself a people, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, I don't think you'd find any argument with most people that we're peculiar. We're a peculiar people. But you notice what he said? Zealous of good works. You know, I think sometimes one of the things that is missing as we proclaim this wonderful grace of God is we get complacent and we don't have the zeal that we once had. We don't have when new people come in, that man, they're just filled up with zeal, they're zealous, but you know, after you've been in after you know some things for a while, you just kind of get relaxed in that. Listen, folks, we need to be zealous. We need to have zeal for the Lord. And it needs to be according to knowledge. Look back in Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, you know, things that's always amazed me over the years, and looking at religion in general, is that it seemingly, and I'm not, this is just my observation now, but to me it seems that the more wacky the doctrine is, the more zealous the people are about proclaiming it. Any of y'all ever notice that? I mean, the crazier the stuff is taught, the more zealous people are about it. And some of the most zealous people in the world are those that believe the lie that salvation is by works and you can lose your salvation. And man, they get out and knock on doors and I'll start to say some other stuff. We won't. They're zealous. They're zealous. I have them come to my door all the time. But the zeal for the work of the ministry needs to be according to knowledge. You notice what Paul says about Israel. He says there in verse 1, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You see, folks, we need to have a zeal, but it needs to be according to knowledge. He said they have that zeal, but they're ignorant of God's righteousness. We're not ignorant of God's righteousness. We understand God's righteousness. We understand that it's imputed righteousness. And it's ours as a gift from our Heavenly Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we glory in that wonderful gift of righteousness. That ought to be motivation to have zeal to serve the Lord. And then the last thing I want to mention is an ambassador needs to believe in what he's doing. Look in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. We need to believe in what we're doing because, folks, it is important. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now notice, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, it's him who's performing the work in you. Look back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 where we started out. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we faint not. You know what to faint is. It means to be without function. I have fainted twice in my life, and it's a really strange feeling. Sometimes you don't have any feeling at all, but you just wake up, and there you are. But I was in high school and had the flu. And my mother, somebody had come by the house, and she had walked out to the car with them. And so the phone rung. And back then, you know, you only had one phone in the house. And so I got up and ran down the hall. And just about the time I picked up the phone, said hello. And somebody said, your mother there? And I said, just. They said, I said, just. And that was about it. And the next thing I knew, my mother was there with a cloth wiping my forehead. I'd just fallen headlong into the coffee table, broke it all to pieces, cut my head. And she was there trying to revive me, going nuts, you know. I just passed out. Just passed out. You see, the picture of fainting is you're not able to go anymore. You're not conscious of what's going on. So, well, Paul says, we've received this ministry. We've received mercy. Therefore, we faint not. We don't quit, folks. We don't quit because it gets hard. We don't quit because people resist. We don't quit because we don't see results. You see, Paul warned about those that suppose that gain is godliness. We preach the word. We do it because we're told to do it. We're not guaranteed results. Sure, they come. Some we hear about, some we know about, some we never hear about. But regardless of that, that's not what's important. The importance is we do what God has commissioned us to do. Why? For we are His ambassadors. We are here in His stead. We're here representing Him. And Paul says there in verse 7 of this chapter, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's that which worketh in us. The Lord Jesus Christ indwelling every believer, indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, instructing us through the Word of God, motivating us to do that which we've been told to do. That's why Paul says over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, as if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Folks, we have a tremendous opportunity, a tremendous responsibility to be faithful with that which we have received of the Lord. The salvation we've received, the message we've received, this wonderful truth of salvation by grace. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're His representative. We're not to do it for self-glorification. We're not to do it to promote some kind of system. We're to do it because we are His ambassadors. And we're to live for Him and serve Him. After all, Paul said, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are His. Would you stand with me for prayer?